Hello.
Good evening.
Hello.
Good evening.
Hey, good evening. How you doing?
Good, I'm blessed. Who is this, Leo?
This is Leo.
Leo, good to hear your voice.
Good to be heard.
Yeah, you made it early, huh?
Yeah, I was doing some laundry. I'm eating, finishing up my dinner, so I'm just going to call in. Yeah, when everybody get there.
Yeah, people start joining about 5:30. Typically by 5:40, they're all here. Everybody's normally is late.
Oh wow! Okay.
I guess it's just in our nature. I don't know. So how are you feeling?
I'm actually feeling good today. I sat up last night watching some movies, and today I slept most of the day. But when I did get up, my sister came and picked me up, and we went to the store, did some, she helped me do a little shopping. I took some dirty clothes to her house. I'm at her house now. She's helping me do laundry. That's basically how my day went.
Oh, beautiful. It was a day of collaboration.
Yeah.
A fellowship. She hung out with you. How's she doing?
That's my older sister. She's 71 now, right? And we just buried her brother.
Oh, wow.
And so she's kind of tired. But she's the oldest member of my family now, and the matriarch. And everybody's calling her and turning to her for everything. I think she's kind of tired of it.
So yeah,
I try to help out when I can.
Right. Yeah, do as much as you can to take the pressure off her, because at 71 years old, if you're not careful, you'll help her to leave early.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Just too much pressure. Good evening. I think that's Sister Hawanda that just joined us.
Yes, sir. Hi, Sister. Good evening, everybody.
How are you doing, Sister Hawanda? This is Brother Leo.
How you doing?
All right.
Well, I'm so glad you guys are so excited.
You talking about Survivor's Day?
Say it again, Leo.
You talking about being excited for Bible study?
Excited about it all, period.
Yeah, I'm always excited.
Your response was, I'm all right. And Sister Hawanda's was, yeah, okay, good. So, you know, I'm just saying, right? I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying something. Right? So, I mean, you should be glad. We are glad we're here, right? Praise the
Absolutely.
Lord.
Absolutely.
I am.
Yeah, we could be doing a whole lot of other things.
Yeah.
A whole lot of other stuff that gets in the way. Sister Wanda, how's your week going?
It's going. I've been anticipating it, so I am excited to be here. I've been waiting for Bible study. Everything else is in motion, and I'm just trusting y'all, having faith, you know, and making sure that I'm checking in with myself, you know, processing and stuff as it goes.
Yeah, I like that, checking in with myself, right?
Looking forward.
Yeah, explain that. Go a little bit deeper. How do you check in with yourself?
Make sure I'm actually allowing myself to feel when I feel like I need to feel, and not pressing down emotions, you know? And just processing from there, you know, allowing myself to be, just to be, you know, and being okay with that.
Yeah, to accept the fact that you were made a certain way, and you're human, and all of those feelings and thoughts all have purpose. Do we react to all of them? No. But are they there for a reason? I think absolutely. I think the design of mankind was very wisely done by God. I don't think anything that we feel and or sometimes think is an accident.
You know, it's ironic that you said that. It's ironic that you said that, Pastor, because I was just questioning why I'm so drawn to people having emotional turmoil in their life, and why do I have to sense all these horrible emotions just to, you know, make them feel better. I don't know. But it's just the way God wired you and the way you made them. That's the way you made. Don't question, just roll with it.
Yeah, so,
but then
also
you can have a place in you to where you feel like you have to be a person to fix people when they haven't realized that there's nothing really wrong. To just acknowledge your feelings, and your feelings are what they are. You don't have to stay there, you know, but accept them as they come.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Yeah, and fixing people is an impossible task anyway.
Yeah,
it really is. You can't change people. People are people are, you know, we're uniquely made piece of God's vision when it came down to the world, the universe, and life. You know, because I don't think we think of ourselves in that manner. We've been sort of kind of taught by Satan over time and through people that he's used to be concealed, right? And concealed to me means to keep everything so self-contained. It's we don't even see ourselves as being part of a universe. We see ourselves as being in a universe, but we don't see part of the universe as being part of us. It's the same principle, I think, that you hear when you hear folks stand on, politicians stand on the world stage and say, God bless America. What about the rest of the people?
Right. Mm-hmm. I get that.
Self-contained. And it's sort of kind of a way of teaching us to be self-centered rather than selfless-centered, recognizing that we are a part of something much bigger than ourselves. It allows us to think differently. It allows us to reshape and reframe the world around us, right? And if there's anything that I would consistently encourage believers to do, is to learn how to reshape and reframe things. For instance, you could have been adopted, right? And so a person can grow up thinking, God bless you, whoever just joined. Who just joined? Amen. Somebody just joined us. I don't see the name. Who's that?
Gary.
Gary?
Yeah, Brother Gary.
Oh, Brother Gary. God bless you, Brother Gary.
Yes.
How you doing, man of God?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Awesome. Awesome. So reshaping and reframing things. So a person can be born, they could have had bad parenting, and so something happens to get adopted. So you grow up going, my life is a mess, somebody adopted me, right? But if you learn what God is, what he meant, what he said, and speak on those things that are not as though they were, he's speaking on reshaping and reframing things. He's not speaking on lying. He's speaking on learning how to reshape it so that it benefits you personally. Because you can just as easily say, because things weren't going right for me, God made sure I had a new pathway, and he carved out a way for me to become a better person. It's shaping. My girlfriend left me. No. God got rid of somebody in my life because that was not going to be right for my life. And so he reframes me so that I can move forward into something else. Reshaping and reframing is so very, very important for believers.
Yes, turning away from the victim mentality.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Run from the victim mentality. Woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. No, God is shaping and making something out of me, and I have to know how to reshape and reframe things, because you can take what's negative and turn it into a positive that way.
Amen. I like the way
that
sounds.
Yes, I always say, instead of saying like somebody did something to me, I say they did it for me, because the scripture Romans 8:28 reminds us that all things work together for the good of them that love Yah and that are called according to His purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to be reading that tonight. That's where we are, in Romans 8:28. So I'm so glad you brought that up. It's a perfect segue.
Let's talk
but I want
right
to hear from Brother Carey real quick. Brother Carey, how's your week?
It's going good.
Going good?
Yes.
Yeah, they're keeping you busy?
A little bit. I'm still not back to work yet. That's why. I usually, you know, I'm on second shift. So that's why I had time today to call it. And,
Yeah, well, we praise God for it. We're glad to hear your voice.
Yes.
Brother Carey just came back from Africa after a 2-month stay.
Yes.
He came back on fire in the Lord.
Oh, my.
That brother came back with a fire in his belly, so we praise the Lord for that. We're going to be reading tonight from the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, everyone. Romans, the 8th chapter. Hallelujah. We're going to have opening prayer. I'm going to wait till 5:40 and give and see if other people are joining. If not, we're going to go forward like the Lord asks us to do. Amen. So Romans 8 chapter, when you have it, say amen.
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 Hallelujah. And I would recommend, whenever you come to Bible study, bring your Bible, read these words, because God said His word cannot return to Him void. So even if you don't understand everything you're reading, you're still absorbing a blessing without even knowing it.
Yeah.
Even if you don't understand it all, you're absorbing a blessing when you read the word of God. Because His word is a blessing. His word is spirit. You're picking up something you don't even know you've got it yet until it shows up. And you start remembering that word, and you start going, oh, my God, I just got what I didn't get. God is good like that. God is awesome like that. So I'm going to ask Sister Hawanda to open us up in prayer, please.
No, I don't understand your damn
Ooh. That was a little rough.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We say thank you. We love you. We bless your name, Yah. Hallelujah. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise that's due to you. We just want to thank you for your word. We thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for everybody that's on the line and those who can't make it to the line for whatever reason. I pray that you meet us right where we are. Hallelujah. Send your Holy Spirit to rightly divide this word to us, that we receive revelation knowledge on tonight. Hallelujah. That we store this word upon our heart, that we may become the living word, that it flows out of our belly like living water. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
That the captives will be set free, that minds will be regulated, that hearts will be fixed. Hallelujah. That marriages will be restored. Hallelujah. That broken fellowship will be mended. Hallelujah. I just thank you for your word. I thank you for what it's about to do for us. Hallelujah. I decree and declare that we won't leave this Bible study the same way that we came in, that we will be built up where we feel torn down. We will be lifted up where we feel weak. We will be strengthened, hallelujah, because of your word, hallelujah, that we will be corrected, hallelujah, and it will bring repentance, hallelujah, that we will have a fire in our belly like never before to continue to run on and do what you called us to do, hallelujah, that we will be continuous in the place to deny our flesh, hallelujah, that we may walk after the Spirit and do the things that you have called us to do in this season. Hallelujah. I just pray right now that you just touch us individually and you touch us as a collective. Have your way in us like never before.
Yes, God.
Continue to stir up the gift that's on the inside of us, that it may come forth as pure gold, that we know that we are already favored, that we already have victory, and that we are all more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. No matter what the situation may be, because we know that life is life, and hallelujah. However, we know that you are still on the throne, hallelujah, and then your answer is yes and amen in this season, hallelujah. So in this season, we won't take no for an answer, hallelujah. We will move forward and progress in you no matter what it looks like, hallelujah. We're going to walk after, be children after your own heart in this season, hallelujah. Mm. Want to be more like you and less like us, so help us to deny this flesh. Help us to die to this flesh that we may live in the spirit. Hallelujah. For we know that we need you like we never needed you before in this season. Hallelujah. And I just want to say a special prayer for those who are losing loved ones. For people are dying left and right, but I speak life and that more abundantly over us. Hallelujah. I pray that you shield us from the enemy. Hallelujah. That you cover us from all hurt, harm, or danger. That you spread, put your blood over the doorposts and the window sills, hallelujah, that you just shield us like never before, that you send your ministering angels out there to encourage and love on those who are grieving in this season, hallelujah, to know that to be absent from the body is to be present with y'all. So help us to do it the way the words say do it. You told us to rejoice when somebody leaves this earth. However, we tend to grieve in another way. So teach us how to be more like you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Instill your word in us, hallelujah, that we may become the living word for real, from the front to the back. Help us to not miss any pieces of it, hallelujah, because we know that we already have this roadmap, and we know that we want to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. So I thank you for touching the word. I thank you for what the word is already about to do, and I pray right now that you anoint the man of Yah, that you touch him from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Allow the word to come out of his mouth like he has never come out before. Hallelujah. That we get a clean understanding of your word and that it gives us the increase in the spirit. And we just say thank you for what's about to take place.
Thank
we
you,
give
Lord.
You glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise.
Amen.
And your son, Yahshua, mighty name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That's the way to open up in prayer. Praise the Lord. We're going to go through it slowly. Terry was not here last week, and certainly, Amanda, you were here, right? Last week, right? Do you remember what the context of our Bible study was last week? Amanda? Mr. Yabber, you there?
Oh, sorry, I was on mute, but I was still. Yes, sir, I'm here.
Do you remember what the context of our Bible study was last week?
Not exactly.
So we read through chapter 7, right? But we started with chapter 8, verse 1. Remember that?
Yes.
Because chapter 8, verse 1 is the conclusion of chapter 7, going all the way through, because Paul was talking about how many things he had done wrong. He's talking about how he was struggling with his walk in a lot of ways. Paul is an apostle. He is a hybrid apostle. He's someone who persecuted the church. He took Christians to the Colosseums to be killed and murdered and stoned for sport. He held the cult of the men who were the aggressors that killed Stephen when they stoned him after waiting on tables. And Paul has had this amazing conversion back in the book of Acts. Just one book before here, he's had this amazing conversion where the Lord has spoken to him. This is going to be important. Where the Lord has spoken to him, and the Lord called him out and said, Paul, Paul, Saul, Saul, why have you persecuted me? And his answer was, Lord, who art thou? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, meaning I'm the church. I'm all of those people that you're sending to the Colosseum. I'm everybody that you're hurting. I'm all of them, right? It's very important because we are the body and we are all a part of Jesus. We are a part of him. Not apart from him, you are a part of him. And so Paul goes through this process in his growth, and he's getting stronger, and he's getting wiser day by day. He's making mistakes, and he's finding his wings, and he's challenging the enemy, and he's gotten to a place in his heart and his mind where he's finally understanding. We're in Romans D, 8th chapter. He's finally understanding enough to give us this specific message, this specific writing, this detail. The other part of the details, hey, Brother Waller, the other part of the details of this book is the book of Romans, right? Everybody got that? The book of Romans.
Yes.
Romans chapter 8.
And it's being written while he is evangelizing that city, the city of all, where there's debauchery, there's murder, there's mayhem, there's political garbage everywhere, there is power mongering, there is prostitution, there is, if they had drugs, I'm sure there was drug dealing, if they weren't using drugs, there was alcoholism. All of those things that we see today and think that they're just from today have been here forever. That's why I would say to people, if you give God a year of your life and you don't feel like you and you don't get it and you don't see God's power move in your life, go right on back to what you were doing, because whatever you were doing is still going to be here, and it's going to be here until time ends.
Amen.
So you can always go backwards. But when you came into the kingdom, you came to go forward. Amen, somebody.
I'm ready
to go forward. I was not looking to go backward anymore. And so Paul is understanding that. He gives us this really clear instruction, something that should keep you as a believer for the rest of your entire life. And it's not something about how much Jesus loves me. We think that's the keeping scripture. Yes, Jesus loves me. I know he died for me. You would think that that's the scripture that'll keep me, how much love somebody had for me, that he died for me before I even understood. You think that's a keeping scripture. But the real keeping scripture is Romans 8:1. And why that is so powerful is because Paul is telling us, this is what'll keep you. Knowing that even if you make some mistakes, there's no condemnation. Even if you messed up, you can get up. This is the keeper. I hope you get. This is the keeper. Even if I failed yesterday, I can get back on my horse and ride again today. And every time I wake up, it's a brand new grace and mercy from God. And I need to stop looking back over my life as though my yesterday has anything to do with my tomorrow, other than the experience I learned, so I don't repeat what I did yesterday. And I can move on to it tomorrow. That's important. So Paul 8:1, make sure that we get that. After talking about, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall save me? Those things that I would not do, I find myself doing. The things that I want to do, I don't do. I'm all messed up over here. Then he turns around and hits us with 8:1, and let's begin to read. I'm going to ask Sister Hawanda, you want to read tonight?
Sure.
Yep. You do 8:1-4.
Okay. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation for them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
For the law is of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, have made me free from all the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his only son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4, the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit.
Amen.
Thank you, Sister Wanda. Sister Deborah, God bless you. Thank you for joining.
God bless you. How are you?
Blessed and highly favored. Wonderful.
Amen.
Someone's phone is feeding back. I think it's, I just got it. The phone that was feeding back, I just cut it off. So let's talk about this. Sister Deborah, we're in Romans 8:1. So Paul is dealing with an inner place that is contrary to everything that is decent and humane. He's in Rome. He's in a place that ultimately evolves and we see come out of its seed, right? Because everything has a seed. A city has a seed. Countries have seed. That there's a spirit on it, right? And the seed of the spirit of the thing, like for instance, the seed of America is greed, whether you understand it or not. That's why Jesus said, a man cannot serve two masters. He'll either serve mammon, which is riches and wealth, or he'll serve Jesus. Well, if you look at what America is today, the first thing you recognize is they may be claiming Christ, but they serve cash. They may claim to be about Christianity, but the real God they're serving is wealth. Everybody got that? So he's dealing with a culture, and Paul is trying to tell them, here's what's going to hold you because you're going to have some challenges, and he tells them about all of his challenges, those things that I would do, I found myself not doing, the things that I would not do, that's what I ended up doing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? None but the Spirit. And he talks about what is the understanding that we need to have of being in the Spirit. Because a lot of us believe that when I cussed that guy out, I wasn't in the Spirit. Well, that's true. When I had that moment where I told that lie, I wasn't in the Spirit. That's true. However, what he's also saying is that by the death, burial, and resurrection, you have been called out of carnality. You got to get this. Please get it. You've been called out of a carnal state and you're now in a spiritual state that can slip up and do a carnal thing. It's backwards. Whereas when we were in the world, we were in a carnal state and we once in a while did a good thing. Anybody getting it? Now you've been called because the election of God is very sure and is very secure. If God called you out of madness, it was purposeful. You're going to see that in chapter 8. It was meaningful. You're going to see that in chapter 8. And you're also going to see how you can't force yourself into the kingdom of God. He had to have called you. And if he called you, there is therefore now no condemnation unto them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. Now, what does he mean by walk not after the flesh? There was a time that we took no concern about doing wrong. That's being in the flesh. Now I want to do right, and I can end up doing wrong. I'm still in the spirit. Oh, my God, help me.
Right.
Now that I want to live right, and I'm doing the majority of things right, and once in a while something slips up, I'm still in the spirit. I just made a mistake. That's why Paul went through this whole gamut of emotions and feelings in 7 to explain to us, you can be in the spirit and still make a mistake. Oh, God.
Come on.
He says there's no condemnation, though. Now that you know you made the mistake, because when you're in the carnal state, you can make the mistake and you didn't care. Which tells us consciousness of sin is the spirit.
Yes.
Your consciousness of doing right is the spirit. Anybody get it?
Yes.
All right. Amen. So now let's keep going. So he says, verse 2, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus ended up making me free from the law of sin and death. I don't stay there anymore. Whereas before, I stayed in the mess because I didn't even consider it a mess. Now I can't stay in it. Anybody get me? I can't stay in that mess now. So it's not like I didn't make the mistake. It's that I'm not going to continue to make the mistake. And so I'm now free from the law of sin and death because I'm not going to continue to do the things that I know vex my spirit.
Willfully.
They attack my mind. They make me feel uncomfortable now because the Holy Ghost lives in me. And now just as a side note, this is a side note, but it's a good note. If the Holy Ghost is in you, the Holy Ghost sees every thought that you have. And we all the time think of sin as being the things we do outwardly. And sometimes we need to apologize to God for the things we're thinking inwardly. Because a lot of times we have said some really bad things about some people. It just didn't come out of our mouth.
Come on.
And a lot of times we have thought some things about people and it just didn't come out of our mouth. But
amen.
God showed us over time that what you thought and what you would have said was wrong. And that's him protecting you, but it's also him acknowledging to you, listen, I am here, you in the spirit. You got to learn how to even cover your own mind. That's why we have to guard our hearts. If you have a bad thought about somebody, and this is going to be like grown-up walking in God, walking in Christ. This is grown-up stuff, right? Here we go. If I've had some people I had the wrong thoughts about that I went and apologized to them for what I thought about them.
Amen.
Yes. Because even Pastor, we can be thinking the wrong way about ourselves too. It's not just others, which is counted like, you know, sin unto the Father, because he know who he created us as, and for us to think less of ourselves as well, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So did everybody get that?
I got it. I did.
You can be thinking, that's why we talked about, you also have to learn how to reshape your narrative. Reshape your narrative. Our God is a God who speaks on things that are not as though they were. What's he talking about? Reshape your narrative. You can sit back and say somebody left me, or you can sit back and say God got rid of somebody that was in my way. It's
Amen.
Your narrative. You reshape it the way you need it to be reshaped in order to get God his glory. You could say I'm broke, or you could sit back and say I got all this room in my wallet for God to produce my next blessing. It's how you
Amen.
Think
Amen.
That makes the difference in what you receive.
Mm-hmm.
It's how I think that's going to make the difference in how what I receive. How do I know that? Because our Bible says, as a man thinketh,
so
is he. My thought process is casting a shadow either over my future or over my past. I need to cast a shadow over my past so I can find my future. If I keep living in my past, the mistakes I made, the things that I did, and the people that don't like me, and the people that's become my enemies, and people that's my haters, and the people that's my backbiters, and if I live in that, I will not have room for my future because my mind will overshadow that. Because I'll be too busy justifying or fighting with that in my mind. And God wants your mind to be free. That's why he says guard your heart, because your heart and your mind are connected. We talked about that. It's part of the soul. My mind, which is my intellect, my willpower, the things I want to do, right? My emotions, right? The feelings that I have. Right? My physiology, the things I taste, touch, see, hear, and smell, right? All that is part of my soul. And so my soul only has so much room in order for it to grow. And if I spend a lot of the energy that my soul has on my past, my future becomes obscure.
Amen.
Amen. I receive that.
Amen.
My future becomes obscure. Right? So
Amen.
Let's keep going. Amen. Is anybody getting this right now?
Yes, sir.
For the law of the spirit of life, verse 2, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm not caught up in that no more. Yes, that person was alive at one time. Yes, I used to be this person, but that's who I used to be. It's not who I am. So I can't allow myself to get caught up in the laws of sin and death. Watch this, verse 3. For what they, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Well, what did he just say? He's saying the law is our own personal recognition of right and wrong. Let me go back again. Let me say it slowly. Anytime you have a personal recognition of what you believe is right and wrong, you have created laws for yourself. Rather than what God says is right and wrong, it's what I think is right and wrong. So if someone says something, so as an example, somebody walks up to me and says the N-word, right? A Caucasian brother walks up and says the N-word in front of me. The law that I have in myself will react and go, who do you think you're talking to? Right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Or something like that.
I don't want to fight with him if I have to, right?
Right.
But what's the law? That's my law. Go ahead.
It's a lot of background noise.
Oh, I think that's Leo's. Yeah, Leo, okay. I think you've got some sound going on in the back.
How do I turn that off?
It's loud.
Just hit the mute button if you're not talking. That's all.
I'm in the basement. Okay.
Yeah, well, I can mute you from here. It's no worries. Okay?
Okay, go ahead.
And so, he said the N-word, right? So the law unto myself. I want everybody, please get this. Because it'll sound a little crazy at first until you experience it. So the law I have unto myself is the law that I grew up with, saying, you know, they don't have a right to call you that. You've been downtrodden. You've been beaten. You've been oppressed. You've been treated. Your grandmama, your granddaddy, they raped and pillaged and plundered. They had your slaves picking cotton, so forth and so on. So I picked up a law in my members. That law is, you don't get to do that to me, because you don't get to make me feel like less than a human being with a word, right? So I'll respond to that. Everybody got it?
Mm-hmm.
That's a law in me. Now watch what happens. Romans 2:11 gave me a new law. For God is no respecter of persons. Telling me God don't care about black and white like we do. God don't care about height and how structured. He doesn't care about how cute you think you are. Doesn't care about how ugly you feel. He cares about the principles that live inside of us, so he's no respecter of persons. All right, so now what happens? So that law supersedes the law I had. Now when I hear somebody call me that, I look at them and I feel sorry for them. I don't feel anger anymore. I feel relieved. And the reason that I feel relieved is because by him having that sickness on him, I now realize that sickness doesn't live in me. I can see sickness now. So, by anybody getting this? I have now been elevated because I'm above the whole concept of racism and so forth and so on. I'm someplace in the concept of holiness and walking in the spirit. Because when you walk in the spirit, you can hear the lust coming out of other folks' flesh.
Amen.
Is that too much for you? You are so. Let me help you with this, prayerfully, right? So it was probably 5 years after being saved that I actually began to understand the depth of this thing that Christ did, the depth of it. I mean, beyond the salvation part, that's big by itself. Beyond the eternal life part, that's more than enough. But there was a depth in there that also he did something for my life while I'm here. And I began to understand it. And I started understanding it so well that the next time somebody mentioned 40 acres and a mule, I told them I didn't want it. If they gave me 40 acres and a mule, I wouldn't take it, because because I now have 40 stripes on a lamb, and I understand that the 40 stripes in the lamb is bigger than the 40 acres in the mule. You can't make me rich. I got a God that can make me. Anybody getting what I'm saying?
Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
So I'm no longer oppressed. I'm no longer depressed. I'm no longer impressed. I'm no longer, you can't do that to my mind anymore. And that's what he means by walking in the spirit. You have to see.
Amen.
He wants us to see how vast what he did was. Not just how, you know, it's not just about the golden streets in the sky and walking through the pearly gates. It's not just about that. It is about the quality of the life he came to give you while you're here, and then eternal life. And then eternal life. And
hallelujah.
So the quality of that life should rise us up above the carnal mindset of being reactive to every word coming out of everybody's mouth, including my own. Including my own word.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Anybody getting this?
Yes.
I hope this makes some sense for you. So it says, so we read verse 4, that the righteousness of the law, because I got my own laws. I have to break those laws and replace them with God's laws. I have my own laws. Everything they talked about the law, we know this if you've been in Bible study, you know we talked about the 615 Deuteronomy laws, the Levitical priesthood laws that God gave them. But the law was meant to regulate and give you a consciousness of what was right and wrong. And Christ is saying, I'm regulating right and wrong in your life now. Not your own consciousness. Oh, God.
Man.
Help us. Not your consciousness
God.
Of
Thank
what's
you.
Right and wrong. I'm regulating the right and wrong in your life. So you messed up. Fess up. So you made a mistake. Well, okay. Wake up in the next morning and don't make that mistake again. I'm regulating that. There's no sin mark. There's nothing on you for making these mistakes now. Oh, hallelujah. Unless you fall in love with them and choose to do them over and over and over again. Then they become a backsliding condition. But if I don't do it over and over again, I'm not backslidden, which means I'm still in the spirit.
Amen.
Anybody get
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Let's go on to verse 5. Anybody have questions about that before we move on? Let me unmute Leo just in case. Leo, any questions about that? I just unmuted.
No, I'm 100% with you.
All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Amen. So let's keep going. Sister Hawanda?
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Hallelujah.
Because the
oh, somebody got it. Wait a minute, she just got it. I think the revelation bulb just popped on. Did you hear it, Sister Deborah?
Yes, sir.
To stay in the spirit means I have to quit reacting to the carnal things around me. And there's a peace that stays with me.
Amen.
It stays with me. Yes, yeah, somebody might cuss me out, but I got to stop reacting to that. I got to stop letting my flesh want to interact
Come
with
on.
Their fleshly desires. I got to start walking in the spirit. And trust in the fact that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And if God if God wants to take care of that person, he will. That's God's job now. It ain't my job. I don't have to go get my 357. I don't have to go out there and get a sword or a knife and come back and tell him what I'm going to do to him no more. Because in all reality, I'm staying in the spirit when I do that. And I'm giving God the opportunity to correct whatever comes against me. Because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And then he said something else that's going to be very important to you as we go down this scripture. It's going to be very important to you because you're going to have to, by faith, declare this over your life and mean it and walk in it and never turn from it. And this is what he said. Touch not my anointed.
Hallelujah.
And to my prophet, no harm.
No harm. Come on.
But he glory.
Not.
Hallelujah.
If he touch not,
he
touch not. And so, why am I so protective over what he's already protecting? What is this? Why am I ready to fight when he's already put the fight in order and he's getting ready to do the knockout punch for me? Why am I so quick to be so angry with everybody around me because they're not reacting to my carnality? Because I want what I want when I want it. I need it now. I want to see you do it when I ask for it. I want you to jump when I say jump.
Amen.
I need you to go over here. And I'm going to say it nice, too, because I'm a Christian. So I'm going to say jump, but I'm going to say it nicely. But I really want you to jump. And then you don't react, and I'm over here all huffed up and puffed up, not realizing God is telling me to shut up.
Woo-hoo!
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Come on.
Our future. You're the anointed in the call. We got to hear this. You're the anointed in the call. We're going to see this as we go through here. Not only are you anointed and called, you couldn't even be in this Bible study if God hadn't called you to it. You couldn't be at New Covenant Church of Christ if God hadn't called you. You could have ended up in anybody's church. You could have. You could have ended up in anybody's service. You could have been worshiping any place. You could have ended up with some Muslims. You could have ended up over here with some Baha Ringays. You could have ended up over here with some folks. He put you where he put you for the purpose of you becoming everything that you're supposed to be. And so he called you
Hallelujah.
And made you anointed.
Yes,
now, you can let other folks steal your anointing if you want to.
Come on now.
I ain't giving mine up for nobody. He called me. I'm not confused about this. Because let's keep reading. You'll see it. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Because the carnal mind is enmity against Yah. But
always
going
against God, right? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I want to make sure we get the point because we just talked about this. Because the carnal mind is enmity. So you can't be carnal if you're thinking about God. Carnal minds fight about
God.
They
don't make.
They sit back. They challenge God. They challenge the concept of God. God ain't real.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a carnal person. So if I'm not challenged like that, then I am in the spirit.
Amen.
Oh, God.
Because
it's a lot of folks that think being in the spirit means you can walk on water. Well, you ain't there yet. Praise the Lord. Don't mean you always there. Right? It doesn't mean that. It means that my mind is stayed on him. I'm constantly aware of whether I'm pleasing him or not. I'm asking him, did I make a mistake, God? If I did, please forgive me.
Yes. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please Yah.
Oops. Go ahead. Oops.
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be, that is the spirit of Yah dwell in you. Now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life.
Stop there. We just want to verify. Everybody see that? And if Christ be in you, the body is now dead because of sin.
Amen.
Oh, God. Help us, Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. Glory.
And we've been getting taught. We've been getting taught, well, you know, you're just a sinner saved by grace. Yeah, I know that. I get that. And yes, I am a sinner saved by grace. But now that I'm saved, he's telling me my sin ain't the kind of sin it used to be. He's telling me my sin is now a mistake. Whereas before, it was outright overt sin. It had sinful purpose. I was serving whom I was serving with that sin. But now that I'm saved, oh, goodness.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Come on.
So therefore, 8:1. So therefore, there's now no condemnation. I can't be beating myself up no more. I can't, because anytime you catch yourself trying to beat yourself up, that is Satan playing a game with your mind and trying to get
Come
you
on.
To give up your inheritance with God. He's trying to get you to accept the fact that you will always be broke. That's him trying to get you to accept the fact you ain't going to never have a good wife or a good husband. That's him trying to get you to accept the fact that your children ain't going to graduate and go to college or they ain't going to turn out to be all right. Every time he plays with your mind, he's playing with your mind for that specific purpose, to make you deny your inheritance.
Yes, that's so true. Hallelujah. Thank you.
And then take
you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
So I got a question.
Yes, sir.
I got a question. So if God got something in store for you, and for me, let me talk about me. He can't give me what he got in store for me unless I get this principle about letting him fight my battles and letting him being in the spirit, living in the spirit, and not going back and forth to the flesh. And is it like level by level by level, or does this all happen like retroactively? Like, you know what I'm saying?
I think I do. Let me paraphrase it to be sure. If you're saying if God has something for me, I may not ever achieve what he has for me if I'm too busy fighting my own battles.
Right, exactly.
Stopping so everything that's going on around. I think the simple answer to that is you're absolutely right.
Okay.
And the reason why it's right, can anybody else, I'm the pastor, but I'm, you know, maybe I could be wrong. So, let me ask around.
Can I speak to it too?
If we fight our own battles, he move out the way like you got it. So when you stand up, you showing him that you can do better than him.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sister Huwanda. Who else? Go ahead, Sister Deb. I thought I heard you.
I want to point out to that was that brother. What's his name?
Brother Leo. Brother Leo.
Brother Leo.
Yes, ma'am.
In Romans chapter 2, verse 12 says, "For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law."
So
you have the law. You should not have to worry about anything because you have the law, and you also walk by the Spirit.
So stay right there. She actually gave you a very good answer, but the answer, if you relate it to what we were saying earlier, I mean, everybody is giving you a good answer. But listen to it real good. We have a law that is a law within our own members.
Right.
We think we should retaliate because there's something inside of me in my flesh that's saying, this is how you handle that. Now to the ultimate answer that Sister Huwanda is giving you. And this is the ultimate answer. Because every time I take an object into my own hands, I have excluded the concept of faith with God, and the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please him. There's many times when it comes down to dealing with people, I have to have faith in God for those people's lives. Now, let's not be crazy. If a guy's standing there in front of me with a weapon, and I'm thinking he may use it, is it my responsibility to walk away? Probably so.
Yep.
Right? That's because God gave you some common sense and some emotions to work with the Spirit. But the problem with most people in life is that they let their emotions and their common sense overrule the Spirit. and the spirit is someplace in the back getting a little bit of authority, but the common sense and the emotions are getting all the authority. Because I keep thinking I have all the right answers and solutions because, my God, I mean, I'm 50-something years old. I've been on the planet a long time. Right?
Yeah.
50-something years old. I've been on the planet a long time. I know some stuff. So let me try to share this with you. We think we know some stuff. If you got an enemy named Satan, who's been on the planet since Adam hit the planet, that might have been 200,000 years ago. My 50 years ain't nothing but a baby playing with somebody that's 200,000 years old. So even what I think I see, and I think I said this in service on Sunday, everything you see is not what it is. Everything that we see is not real. We manufacture real out of ourselves. I hope this gets good. We can manufacture real from within off of an illusion from without. Somebody looked at me wrong. I manufactured the fact that they don't like me. I don't know whether that person likes me or not because I ain't even talked to him. I'm just taking a look in their face, the circumstance in my situation where I'm standing right now, and I've made my decision. Why? Because there's a law. There's some laws in my members. And the laws in my members are saying things like, you know, somebody looks at you like that, they doing that because they don't like you. They don't trust you. They got something against you. So I'll take what was illusionary, because Satan had him look a certain way and had me to receive a certain way, and I'll make it real. And now I want to go over there and say, what you looking at, man? what you looking at, brother? And now his natural reaction is, my illusion now made him become real. I ain't looking at nothing. Who do you think you're talking to?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I
thought of when you were looking at me, man. I don't even know who you're looking at. It happens all day, every day.
Wow.
Are you hearing
what I'm saying? You know what I learned in this situation on my healing journey?
What's that?
That when people look at stuff like that, like, okay, somebody looking at me, it's like you always look at everything from a negative standpoint. It's a such thing as being low vibrational and high vibrational. And when I started my healing journey and started letting go of those things and then the victim mentality of things, I can see have more compassion and look. You know what I'm saying? So I literally start seeing different. If somebody was frowning up for me, my perspective was maybe they had a bad day, something is going on, versus them looking at me and then it being something negative.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now let's go back to what
can I ask
some? Of course you can.
Yes. I'm listening and I think about these things all the time, right? And it's like, I understand that this physical life, or this in this natural realm, is a result of something that happened in the spirit realm. This is a result. This is a manifestation of something that already happened. Actually, before the foundations of the world, it already happened. So when somebody's mean mugging or acting out, whatever the case may be, also I realize that life is spiritual. It happens spiritually first, and everything has a spirit behind it. So it is not necessarily the person. It's a spirit behind that attitude.
Absolutely.
So, that helps me because I don't really focus on the person, the physical person. Try to focus more so on the spiritual, because everything is spiritual. Life is spiritual. Everything is spiritual first. And that, I think that's very important to understand and to look at it like that. We don't take things so personal.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the growth. You know, it, the Bible says to be born again of the Spirit. As humans, most times, we look, like you said, what we see out of our eyeballs is not real.
No, it's not.
It's not really real. It's not really... The reality is in the spirit realm. So my granny used to always tell me, boy, don't believe nothing you hear and believe half of what you see. And I didn't understand what that meant back then, but now I get it. You know, these guys running around here and they got their fancy cars, they got their fancy clothes and their jewelry. Whole time they broke. But just from the eye looking, you're like, man, this man got it going on. Nah, not most times they don't. Most times they don't. The guy that really got money ain't really flashing it. So it's like, you know, I don't want to keep going rambling, but it's just it's spiritual. It's spiritual.
So that
must be born again of the spirit.
It is looking
with our eyeballs. Don't you know in Genesis, the Bible says that Adam, when they ate the forbidden fruit, Adam's eyes were open. So now he was seeing with his eyeball. So now he's not walking in the spirit like he was before the fall. So to be born again, we must now walk in the spirit and see spiritually.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Like he did before the
fall.
That's
good. That's
hallelujah.
Good. That's good.
Hallelujah. That's good. Amen. Did we get that?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Lord.
Everything is not what it looks like. And the more we allow ourselves to stay in the spirit, trust God, the more you'll see past the illusion. Most things is an illusion.
Thank you.
And you'll see past the illusion.
That's
and then you begin to go, I think I understand this now. And you stop reacting to things, and you'll find yourself at peace more often than not, because I'm not reacting to the things I used to react to.
Yeah.
And this is what Paul is telling in the spirit. He's saying you ain't carnal. So if you make let me try it this way. If you make a couple of mistakes in a day, today, if you made any, and you made a couple of mistakes, it's real easy to get sucked into carnality by the person that the enemy sends.
Yes.
When he sends somebody to kind of get right into your stuff, it's real easy to get sucked into that carnality because of the mistakes, because you think your mistakes are carnal. But the minute you recognize there's therefore now no condemnation, and that whatever's coming at you is not coming at you because God sent it, you begin to recognize this is coming because Satan is sending it to draw me back into a place that I refuse to walk into. I hope can you receive this? I'm not going to get drawn into that again. I'm not going there. Amen. I made a mistake. That's all it was. It was a mistake. I didn't mean to do it. I didn't set out to do it. It ain't like I sat back and waited on this lady to come down the street and grab her purse and run down the street with it and take her money. I don't think like that anymore because I'm in the spirit. So if something happens, I now know this is not purposeful. This is a mistake on my behalf. This is a moment in my day, and that's all it was. It is not my day. It is a moment. But if I'm not careful, I'll move into self-condemnation, and Satan will take what should have been a moment, and he'll make it your whole day. And if you ain't careful, it'll go from a day to a week, and from a week to a month, and from a month to a lifetime on you. And you can't figure out how did I get wrong. Man, in the name of Jesus, because I got sucked in and drawn in, because I never accepted the fact that I could make a mistake.
Amen.
No matter how much I love the Lord.
Praise God. Amen.
Amen. Let's keep going. Yeah, let's keep going. You ready, Sister Wanda?
Yes, yes. I was sending Sister Ruby the number so she can call in. Yes. Now, but verse 10, we were on verse 10, so it's it. And if Romans Christ, eight. Yes, Romans 8, verse 10.
Okay.
And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwelleth in you.
Did anybody get
it? Hallelujah.
Yes. Oh, my God. Man, that's enough for me. That's like two.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Don't hear the words. See this in your heart. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, we're talking about the present love and the presence of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
It moved Jesus while he was in a tomb and told him, get up.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
It moved a dead body and said, get up. If it can move a dead body and make it get up, it can move
sickness
and make it get out. It can remove poverty and make it get back.
Hallelujah.
If the spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, he that raised up Christ from the dead is also going to quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. That's why you cannot live off your mistake. You cannot dwell on your mistake.
Because
he's constantly trying to raise you up and say, let's go. It was a mistake. It was a thing. It was a moment. It was Satan tricked you. Whatever happened, it's over. Rise up.
Amen.
Amen.
And what's the first thing that Jesus did when he got rose up from the dead? Anybody know? Anybody know what he did first?
The first thing that Jesus said when he rose rose.
What did he do when he got up?
He said, "It is finished."
He said, "It's finished." I think he said that right as he was on the cross. But he did something else. What he did?
He prayed.
He prayed. What else did he do?
He said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do."
So when he resurrected, what did he do when he resurrected?
After 3 days in the tomb, he comes out, and what's the first thing he does? He goes back to doing exactly what he was doing for God. He goes back to ministering, back to healing, back to teaching. That is what Satan is trying to do to all of God's children. He is trying to put enough pressure on you so you won't do the work God called you to do. Because when God called you, he called you for an anointing. I'm not trying to tell you you're a preacher, you're a pastor, you're a prophet, you're an evangelist, you're an apostle. I'm not trying to tell you you got the spirit of helps. I don't know if you've got a prophesying spirit. I don't know what he gave you. But I do know that I serve a God that don't do nothing for nothing. And if he don't do nothing for nothing, why in the world did you call me out of the muck and mire of my own mess?
Come on.
To make me want to turn around from this mess, to make me want to give up sleeping with anybody and everybody. You made me get rid of that.
Yeah.
You turned around. You made me not want to tell lies anymore. Why in the world did you do all that if you ain't going to do nothing with it?
Yes.
My.
That's good.
If you ain't going to do nothing with it, then why do you do it?
That's good.
Yes.
Amen. Anybody getting it?
I heard you. You know, I'm just thinking. I was studying last night, and I was studying Matthew in the 25th chapter, and he was talking about the different talents. The guy had 5 talents, the other one 2, and the other one 1. What he did with the talents. And I got a revelation that, you know, God gave us our, kind of what I was talking about earlier. He gave us our gifts.
Yes.
Before the foundation of the world. He actually gave our gifts to us before he even created Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
So we blame the devil.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not really the devil why we don't operate and function in these gifts. It's really because our character.
Yes.
That character has to be intact.
Uh-huh.
But the gifts are a given. Each and every one of us have a gift, but we don't recognize that, and we'll be like the guy with the 1 talent and go bury it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so profound when you can see it, because Apostle is moving and working in his gifts. I have to say, his gift, his giftedness, he's gifted, but then the next person may be jealous or envious of him because he's not doing what Apostle's doing, not knowing that he has a gift. Everybody has a gift. God gave us a gift. So that is so profound to me. And it's inspirational to me to dig down and perfect what's already in me. Whatever it is, it's already in me. Because a principle of creation is the success is built into the thing. Whatever the gift is, it's built in. It's just like anything physical, right? It's like whatever you want to use, a lawnmower, right? For an example, a lawnmower has blades that spin around on the back. It's built to work.
Yeah,
it's designed to work for what it is that it's supposed to do. And that's whatever. It's a principle in creation. So we were all created to do something and fulfill a purpose. And whatever it is, the success is built into us.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't recognize it most times. And we focus on other people.
Yeah, if you don't put the gas in that lawnmower, start it up, it gets
No, seriously. Yes, that is so true because it's a principle that it runs off gas. You can't go put no Kool-Aid in there. It ain't going to work. So it's the principles that we have to apply. All we have to do is apply the principles.
Yes.
All we have to do is apply the principles. And it's designed for us to succeed.
Yeah, it's designed for us. About that too.
Any manufacturer. Okay, go ahead.
No.
I
just want to make sure everybody gets it. We're going to talk about that part because with everything else that we're going to read in Romans, the 8th chapter, he's going to tell you are heir, joint heir, you're an inheritor. Mm-hmm. So what's stopping us? And you really nailed it by talking about the talents. And I'm going to talk about that, and that's how we'll close out tonight, I think. But I really want us to get all this. So go ahead. Finish up what you were saying, Tavon. It's just spot on. It's a great segue.
Amen.
What was I going to say? Don't worry about it. I lost track of thought.
All right. Let me turn it back over to Sister Water. Sister Clay, God bless you. Thank you for being here. I see you joined us. We're in Romans, the 8th chapter, Sister Clay. Romans, the 8th chapter.
Verse 12. Okay.
Yep. All right. Go right ahead, Hawanda.
Okay, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do morality in the deeds of the body, ye shall live.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For
everybody,
ye have not
really close attention to 14. I want to have you read it again. The other word that you were saying is mortify, which means to kill. Mortify. Where the word mortgage comes from.
Yes.
Mortgage means death grip. Mortgage. A home mortgage means death grip. That's what that word means from the Germanic language. It means a death grip on you. And he's saying you need to put a death grip on the deeds of the body, right? Now,
come on, that flesh. Come on.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 14.
Hallelujah.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, this is
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Verse 15.
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Right. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
The
thank
spirit
you.
Itself beareth witness with our spirit, that we are the children of Yah, of God.
Stay right there. Stay right there. I want everybody to consider this. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Every one of us has had something to take place where we knew what we did, God had us do it, and it bore witness in our spirit. And he was him
hallelujah.
Saying to you, to me, to others, you are my child.
Hallelujah.
And so how in the
hallelujah.
World does someone sit back and let me know I'm your child, and then I want to run around and act like a castaway? I want to run around and act like I've been bastardized and I don't belong in the kingdom. And that's why
amen.
Your flesh does what it does, because Satan is trying to use your flesh to bastardize your spirit. And I'm here to tell you tonight, the devil is a lie. You have not been bastardized. You are his child. You
hallelujah.
Are his child.
Amen.
You are not the mistake.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Praise the Lord.
Verse 17. So I'm the child of God. What happens next? What's 17 say?
And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that ye suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together.
Stay there.
Amen.
Now let's go back to Leo. Leo, did you hear that? If I'm willing to suffer with him.
Come on,
when I take my own stuff on, I'm not willing to suffer with him. And so I'm bastardizing myself.
Yep, crazy.
Because I ain't willing to go, this feels too bad. Oh, these people said too much. They don't know how much they hurt my feelings. And God is saying, get over your feelings.
Not about
God.
Amen.
Get over your thoughts about yourself. Get rid of your own laws and rules that you've been living by. Learn to live by my laws and rules, right? Because you're heir and joint heir with Christ. Heir to what? Well, first off, we all know in John, the 10th chapter, he talks about there's a mansion in the sky for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So you know you got some inheritance coming, right?
Amen.
Yeah.
Now,
hallelujah.
Y'all ready for this? Now
I
want to go to what Saban was talking about. So where's my inheritance on the earth? That is the real question. I got an inheritance coming when I die. But what about while I'm living?
Amen.
Where's that part?
Amen.
Now let me show you where it said. Go to Matthew, the 25th chapter, 14th verse. Kevon, I told you that was a wonderful segue, brother.
It was.
Yeah.
25.
That was God. That was the Holy Ghost.
The old man, say it again. That was the Spirit.
When you get there, let me know. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
So where's my inheritance while I'm here? Where's my inheritance? Where in the world? Why am I struggling so much? Why aren't things lining up? Why are things just breaking forth? Why am I not seeing blessings on top of blessings? Why am I always struggling with stuff? Here's where this comes in and begins to make sense. 25:14. Matthew 25:14. Ready?
Yes. For the kingdom of heaven.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods.
Before you go, I want to go back to something that Tavon said. Every gift inside of you was given to you before you ever hit this planet. Some of you can write. I'm going to hurt some feelings, but I'm going to heal some issues. Some of you can write. Some of you can sing. Some of you dance. Some of you can articulate and speak so very well. Each one of those little things that we take for granted because we do it every day and it doesn't cost us anything is a gift.
Yes.
If you don't think talking is a gift, go to somebody that can't speak. If you don't think listening is a gift, go sit down and talk to a man who speaks. It's a gift. If you don't think being able to organize children is a gift, you're missing the point.
Yes.
I got to get this really expressed properly, so I need you, Holy Ghost. Please help me. The woman that raises eight kids, and she was on welfare all of her life, eight children. She raised them. She fed them. Yeah, she was on food stamps, right? She didn't have a really good job. She couldn't because she had to raise all those kids. And she made sure that they had clothes and they went to school and so forth and so on. And the kids grew up fairly strong and fairly decent. That woman that did that, off of food stamps and an ABC check and a few extra here's and there's that she might have made by doing somebody's laundry or helping somebody. That same gift that allowed her to raise eight kids on a budget that a Caucasian family can't raise one kid on makes her an economist and she doesn't even see it.
Come on.
I'm about to shake y'all up in a minute. She's an economist, but her problem is the value that she sees in herself is bad because she looks at what her hurt and pain is rather than what her gifting and capability is. So what you're getting ready to see in this scripture when we read through it, all these gifts came from above. God gave James, the second chapter says, every good gift and every perfect gift was sent down by God. It was sent from the Father. The Father of lights in whom there's no shadow of turning and there's no variableness in it. In other words, it was already here. He sent it. It was here for you. You've got these gifts. Well, what happens to us? Do we just get caught up in the fact of, you know, somebody's going to convince us our color won't let us get through? Do we get caught up in the fact that I just ain't got somebody to be behind me? I could start a business if somebody give me $100,000 so I can go and open up my door and I could do this and I could do that. What's catching us up? What is holding us?
The thinking.
Everybody ready for this?
Yep.
It's in the thinking. And I'm going to show you where the thinking issue comes in this scripture. Let's go through it real quick because I know it's getting late. We may have to continue this next week. But I want you to see this. Go ahead, Sister Holanda. Let's talk
verse
about these.
Verse 15. And it said, and to one he gave five talents, and to another two, and to another one. To every man according to his several abilities, and straightway took his journey. And then that had received the five talents went and traded with the same, and and made them order other five talents. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained another two. Mm-hmm. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid.
This is the important part. Stay right there. Stay right there. Hold on. I'm sorry to keep breaking in on you like that, but I want everybody to catch this. I want you to pay attention to this verse. This verse. Mm-hmm. He who had what? What happened?
No. One talent.
The one talent. Go ahead. Read it.
He who had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more.
Mm-hmm.
His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also had received two talents, came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art in thy hand, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not sowed. And I was afraid and went and hid the talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not straw. Thou art therefore to have put my money in the exchange, and then my coming, I should have received my own with usury.
Mm-hmm. Interest. Go ahead. That's
take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which have talent, have 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that have not shall be taken away even that which he hath.
Mm-hmm.
And cast ye the unprofitable servant.
Okay. You got it. You did it. And even what you do have, it'll keep getting taken away from you. Got that? Go back to verse 24. I want everybody to see this. It's going to hurt somebody, but it's going to heal somebody.
Mm-hmm.
May hurt somebody, but it'll heal you.
Amen.
Verse 24.
Yes, ma'am. Listen to it good. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I know thee, and thou art a hard man. He's talking about God.
Mm-hmm.
Hard man. You're reaping where you didn't reap. Gathering where you didn't. Some of us, I'm going to say this part first. You got to stop being angry with God.
Amen.
That was a judgment. His mindset was so completely different from the people that had the five talents and the two talents. His mindset was off, completely off. If God puts you on the planet, this is why this is important. If God puts you on the planet, he puts you on the planet for you to succeed. We have become so used to being on the planet and not being successful.
Yes.
That we've learned to make it a lifestyle, and we keep losing everything we have because we won't put our faith in God and say, whatever I can do, I'm going to do it so professionally.
Come on.
Is the whole difference. The difference is not whether I can do it. The difference is, will I do it professionally? Will I take it to another level? Will I move myself out the way and get rid of my own personal fears? Because the other part that will keep a person from ever prospering is their fear of their own success. Because when you start feeling like you're going to be somebody, you also start recognizing that you have to become somebody. So that means I got to change the way I walk. I got to change the way I talk. I got to change the way that I interact with people. I have to learn how to articulate my words with folks. I got to learn how to do some things that's going to take and require me to not be slothful over the things that God gave me, the talent that God gave me. I have to come out of the slothful mentality of thinking I just need to use it while it makes me happy. What I'm supposed to be using it for is to make me prosperous.
Come on, Jesus.
If you know how to babysit, get you 100 babies. Open up a babysit. Get you a daycare. If all you know how to do is cook, get you some big pots and put them on your stove and start selling meals to the neighbors. What is wrong with us? They cut out our shots. Other than thinking, I can't become successful because if I become successful, there's no more excuse for me not being successful.
Pastor Monroe.
Yes, ma'am.
Can I say what I received from that too? What's coming to me is that he was paying attention to them having 5 and 2, and he ain't see no multiplication in 1. But he ain't know he was anointed to what he can do with the 1. That's just like, you know, people creating 5 loaves of bread. What you anointed to do, you anointed to do it. Don't matter who else is doing it.
Hallelujah.
You know, so he
focused on
looking at what they had and then see no more. He, you know, like you said, he probably was upset, like, why I only got 1 and they got 5 and 2 and then see how he can multiply with the 1 he had. So he lost faith in himself and said, well, I'm just going to bury mine because I can't get nothing from it anyway, because he worried about what they was going to gain.
So let's go from that perspective then. Thank you, my sister. Let's go from that perspective then. Let's go from this perspective of envy and a little bit of jealousy and a little bit of I just always feel like I'm left out. Because it means all of that. If you read into this scripture, all of that was happening. Right? Envy, jealousy, I was left out, they only gave me 1, he gave him 5, he must think he's better than me. Maybe the one that got the 5 might have been a Caucasian, maybe the one that got the 1 was black, we don't know, right? Let's talk about the envy, the jealousy. I want y'all to hear me tonight, please hear me tonight, please, because you'll break through, I'm telling you, it'll hurt, but it'll heal. So listen to me real good. So all my life I went around with a black complex. I walked through life with a black complex. I was raised in Chicago. I was raised in everybody was black in the neighborhood. There was no mixture where I was raised at. And I was raised up seeing people struggle, seeing people suffer. I was raised up seeing people on drugs. I saw rhinos on every corner. I saw some drug addicts on every block. I was raised in this, and it became a part of my mentality. And so when everybody sat around, you know, I can't say the kitchen table because we didn't do that in the hood, right? We sat around the front porch with a sandwich. But when everybody was sitting around the front porch with the sandwich, we'd be sitting back, and the older people would sit back and talk about how much the white people have done to us. How much they've stolen, how much they've taken, how much we've been abused, how much we've been used, what they did to great-great-grandmama, and what they did to great-great-granddaddy. And in fact, granddaddy ain't here no more because they beat him to death. And I grew up in that mentality. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And I was in that mentality, and I could never be successful with it.
Come on.
We're going to hear some truth tonight.
Come on.
Come on.
And I could not be successful because the people I had to go to become successful and get the money from were the same people that you've already taught me to hate and distrust.
Yes.
Amen. I spent all my life with you teaching me to hate and mistrust. the people because you didn't go anywhere with them.
Right.
So most of what they were telling me when I was growing up was coming from their hurt of not having it. One talent versus five. They got these big houses. We got 18 people in a little house. They've got this, they've got that. So then I read the Bible. I got saved some years later. I read the Bible, and I read that scripture that God is no respecter of persons. If you do right, then he will impute and send into your life those things that come with doing right, whether you're Jew or Gentile, and anguish and suffering and pain on you if you won't live right, whether you're a Gentile or a Jew. And I thought about that, and I prayed about it, and the Lord said, you get it now? What is it, Lord? I don't see black and white.
No.
You do.
Yeah.
I don't see colors like you do. They trained you to see that. What I see is souls. Give me good.
That's it, right there.
It'll hurt, but it'll heal. What I see is souls now. And so when I see souls, I deal with what the soul is doing, not the color or the culture. Forget about all that. Because it ain't did you no good being a black man running around talking about Black Panthers. It ain't done you no good doing that. And it ain't done you no good sitting back and complaining and talking about what they did. But I'm telling you, 40 acres and a mule, I started off talking about this, ain't going to have nothing on 40 stripes and a lamb. I'm telling you to have whatever you need. All you got to do is trust me, walk in this, get rid of all those envies, get rid of all those concerns, and go out and use the gifts and talents that I've given you that other people have prospered off of, but you haven't yet.
Come on.
Oh, boy. Let me try it again.
That's good.
That other people have prospered off of, and you haven't. You go to work at McDonald's. You think they did you a favor. You never catch the fact that you did them a favor. It's your labor that they're paying for. They ain't paying for you wearing the uniform. They're paying you for the work you did. So that was your labor. They're capitalizing off of your efforts and your labor. You're standing at the counter smiling and saying, yes, ma'am, can I help you? How many 3 Big Macs? We got it for you. They're profiting off of your customer service skill. God, I wish somebody would get it.
And if
they can make money off of you being in customer service, you can make money off of being in customer service. All you need. Anybody listening to this?
Yes.
You can do everything that you've done working for somebody else, you can now take it and you can now reshape it. Remember, I was talking about you got to reframe the circumstance, right?
Yes.
Oh, I ain't had nothing but a job at McDonald's. No, that job at McDonald's has prepared me for the company I'm about to open. You got to frame your own narrative.
Hallelujah.
Here's how you're going to know when it's working. When we as a church, and I'm not going to get too deep, but I got to say it. When we as a church start stepping up and saying, what is the vision of this church? And I'm in because I'm going to take my talent. I'm going to take whatever God gave me. I'm going to introduce it into this body so that this body begins to shape and remold the narrative of this community. Because the more we do those things, the more God begins to expand your territory. And what's going to come after he expands your territory? He's going to expand your business. He's going to expand your house. He's going to expand your kids. All of it works together. It's meant to work together. That's why he says you're the body. You're a part of something. You're not all of it. You're no less than anything in it. But you're a part of something. And until we get over the envy, the jealousy, all that ridiculous stuff that has us, that have us come into a church and just sit there forever.
Yes, amen.
All you're doing is burying your gift.
Your gift. Come on.
Amen.
Woo-hoo.
Woo, boy. Amen.
Come on.
Is it all right to talk? I told you it'll hurt, but it'll heal.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. We don't have to be as big as, we don't have to have a building like Mount Zion to outperform what they're not doing, because they ain't doing nothing. We don't have to. We don't have to have, we don't have to have a big cathedral like a Catholic church in order to be a universal church and touch people's lives. What we have to have is a church that is no longer lethargic, that ain't just sitting around waiting for the lightning and the thunder to show up. They're starting to realize I am the heir and joint heir. It is my job to bring the lightning and the thunder. That's the way forward anymore.
Hallelujah.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah.
Bring the lightning and the thunder.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
Thank you, Lord.
And then your one talent, whether you have one, five, or 50, they'll start multiplying.
Yeah.
So they don't, what they don't tell you is, had this man have had whatever issues he had that made him see God the way he saw him, because that was his statement. You ain't a fair God. You ain't a fair man. You know, you reap what you haven't even sown into. You're all in. You in control of everything. Whatever that mentality was, it is still existing in the church today. Because if don't nobody walk up and say, let me give you $100 a week so you can come in and lead the choir, people won't read. If don't nobody give you $500 to preach every Sunday, some folks won't preach.
Yeah.
If don't nobody come in and tell you, hey, we're going to pay you X amount of dollars to be the church secretary or the administrative director, you ain't go sec and you ain't go direct.
Amen. Wow.
But we're in a church where the person pastoring it and his wife have been doing it for the last 17, 18 years and they never been paid.
Wow. Wow.
Never had a nickel come from it.
Uh-huh.
I think one time I borrowed $1,500 from the church to pay a mortgage bill, and I put the money right back 2 weeks later. Anybody hear what I'm talking about? Is this making sense? You're there, you join it.
Oh yeah.
You can only be heir, right? Inheritor. There's something to inherit.
Amen.
Come on.
Who's gonna be the inheritor of heir? Well, I inherited. I'm a child of the Most High God. I've inherited heir because I can't show anything else but the heir. I can't show nothing but, you know, I inherited snow. I inherited. No, God wants you to inherit the earth. That's why he said the treasure of the unrighteous.
Hallelujah.
Well, I'm preaching right now. I'm hoping.
Yes, you are.
It's a storehouse for the righteous. And we won't go to the storehouse because we can't come in and become an organized house. But when you become an organized house, I guarantee you, you'll see multiplication taking place on whatever talent you bring into the door. Because that's the way God planned this. He constructed it a certain way. That's why principles are so important in the kingdom. When you walk in the principles, when you function in those principles, they begin to multiply stuff around you.
Yes. Amen. Yes, they do.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So,
amen.
Romans, I think in conclusion, I'm just trying to tell you, don't get caught up thinking you ain't in the spirit just because you heard a cursing spirit in your head.
Yes.
Don't get caught up in believing you ain't who God said you are just because you haven't accomplished what God said you could.
Yeah.
You're still in the spirit.
Amen.
What normally God is doing is trying to couple you into the places with the right people so that when you get around the right people, your gifts begin to make room for you.
Amen.
That's what he's trying to do. And if you allow him to do it and you have some faith and some trust in the God you serve and the people that you've associated yourself with to serve, you'll see things change so fast, it's ridiculous. And so I'm encouraging everybody on this phone. I don't know what business you got in you. I don't know what gift, what talent you came in with, but you got one, and you are supposed to be using it to build kingdom. You should be using it to build kingdom. You should be using it to build kingdom. And it's a funny thing about building kingdom. If you take care of God's people, God always takes care of your people. If you take care of God's family, He'll take care of your family.
Get
out of the mindset that I have to do everything. I got to do what God called me to do. And if I do what He called me to do, and we'll get back to Romans next week, everybody, because you're going to see this part too. You can't even be on the Bible study without God having called you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Carnality will have nothing to do with Him.
Yes.
When He called you, your desire to live right, your desire to do right, your want to have a healthy, peaceful, normal life, all of that is God bearing witness with your spirit that you are His child. Because if you just turn on the TV, turn it on for an hour, turn it on the news, you'll see so many people that don't have none of what you got. They ain't looking for peace. They don't care about peace. They hate each other. The president talks about the vice president. The vice president is lying on the president. The secretary of state is lying on this person. This person is saying, let them all die. This person is over here saying, well, we shouldn't let them all die, but let some of them die.
They don't have what you have.
Amen. They don't have what we have. That's so true. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you.
I'm going to open the Bible study up for comments. I hope and pray somebody got it. I hope and pray I didn't give you too much, but just enough.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have talent, and I'm not trying to make anybody feel good. I don't really need to do that. I don't feel good about saying things to people just to make them feel like they feel better. I'm telling you the truth. And the truth is obvious to me because He did it in my life.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes, He did.
The job that I worked, and I'll close on this, but you all think about what your comments are, thoughts, or questions. But the job that I worked for 20 years, the only job I ever kept for 20 years, in fact. It was interesting. I was in the Yellow Pages, and I went from business. I met all the business owners in the community. And I would always ask them, how did you start your business? And a guy with a $5 million heating and air conditioning business would sit back and say, well, Jim, you know, when I started, all we had was one little small truck. I just gotten out of school for heating HVAC. Then I'd go and I would get a job here and a job there. And I started realizing, I really like the business. So, then over time I started doing a little marketing and advertising, put up a website. I took some ads in the Yellow Pages. I even ran some television commercials over time as I started saving money. And then I had to hire 3 or 4 people. And now with $5 million a year revenue now. And then I go sit down with the lawn care guy. And I say, well, Mr. Lawn Care Guy, how did you start this business? Well, Dad used to always make me go out and mow the lawn. I hated it. But I'd always have to mow the lawn and so forth. So then one of my next door neighbors asked me to mow hers. And I went over there and did that. She gave me $30. I was going, wow, that's a lot just to mow a lawn. And then I did the next door neighbors, and then I started putting signs out in the yard. And when I put the signs out in the yard, the other neighbors started calling my number and asking me to come mow theirs. And then I had to hire a truck. Then I had to get a truck and hire somebody to work with me, so forth and so on. Now I'm $10 million a year.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I sat there, and I listened, and I'm saying to myself, wow. You would think that this was some big plan and somebody had millions of dollars to get started. They didn't.
Nope.
What they had was a talent.
Come on.
Yes.
So for 20 years, I listened to it back and forth, back and forth, until I finally left that company and I asked the Lord, why in the world was I there? And he said, so you can teach my people how to get themselves on their feet.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You can teach your community that they have all of those same talents. The only thing that they're not doing is they're not applying it because many of them are too afraid to succeed. The other groups are so angry at somebody that they don't want to succeed, and the rest is just a mess. But this can turn around.
This is a mess.
You have it in you. That's the last thing I'm saying. You have it in you, but you gotta go get it. Fail if you must. But every time you fail, you're closer to success. Make mistakes if you need to. Every time you make a mistake, you learn something. It makes you a little wiser. We have it in us, but we're not applying. We're keeping one talent buried, and God is saying, unbury your talent tonight.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Wake up in the morning and pick your talent up.
Glory.
Go use it to whatever good you can produce with it and make it do what I designed it to do. You don't suffer.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I think I'm done. Comics?
I got one.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I don't mean you to
sure?
Go ahead.
Sure
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, it really ain't what it look like, you know, and my prayer is that we be not conformed to this world, but we be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we can throw away those old thoughts, because somebody is still believing when their parent or grandparent or maybe even a stranger or a teacher told them, you ain't never going to be nothing. They still believe in those thoughts and those things that somebody told them that ain't been true, and that's a lie from the pit of hell, that you are somebody. And you always have been somebody, and you can and you will, and it is so.
Yeah.
Okay, we can hear you now, Dewan. There was some noise in the background. Go ahead.
I'm here now. I got on late. But better late than never, right?
Better late than never. Yes, sir.
And like I was looking to see every week, it's always awesome to hear everybody's story and stuff. Yep. You know.
Yeah,
so it's blessing to hear everybody success in everything like that. Yep, that was always good and great, you know, great to hear that stuff. Yep.
It really is, Dewan. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Anyone else as we get ready to close out?
Mm-hmm.
No, it sounds like we're good. I hopefully did not injure anybody with what I said, but I absolutely meant what I said.
Mm-hmm.
We are way better
than
what we're giving ourselves credit for.
Amen.
We are way better than what we're giving ourselves credit for. It may be difficult to be the best of you. But that's why God sends you a spiritual family, so that you have that collaboration, so that you have those other thoughts and other people who know how to help you shape and frame your narrative as you go forward into a successful life in God. That's what the spiritual family is for. That's why he talks about the one body. That's why he says the hand is no better than the arm, and where's the the eye and the hearing. And each one of us play a part and a role in the kingdom. And if we allow ourselves to play those roles and parts and not take church as a thing to do on Sunday, let me say that again. Don't take church as a thing you do on Sunday.
Amen.
Take life as a thing you do Monday through the next Saturday, but it all started with church. Do it the other way around. Reshape that narrative. Everything functions around my relationship with God. Not after I'm done with everything in the world, I go and kind of function with my relationship with God. God should be part of your day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, forever. And reshape the narrative. Reshape the way you're seeing it. And you'll see it works. It works, but you got to work it. Everything starts with Sunday. And then it moves out into the other parts of my life. But it can't be the other way around, right? And you've got a family, a church family, that's what it's supposed to be for. We're supposed to be airtight as a family. We should be. We should be airtight as a church family. People need to be able to say, hey, this person's going through that. Let's go get them some help from over here. Let's get that. You know what, Hawanda, you're handling all the administrative stuff. Go ahead and do that. You get make sure that this person's got what they need. Call me if you need me to step in. Call my wife if you need her to step in. Call this. That's how. That's what he means by the body. And we'll change them. And you do have a pastor that knows business. So there's a whole lot of wisdom that you can extract free of charge. Because it's love motivated that you can extract and say, how do I get this business up and running? But you have to trust where you get your information from. Yes. That becomes a problem. If you don't trust where you get your information from, you'll take the information with a grain of salt. You could be talking to somebody that could be saving your life, but if you don't take what they say seriously, you could die, and you could have been told how to live, but you didn't take it seriously. So that is the body. We need to get organized and get ready. Anybody else closing thoughts?
I was just gonna say, and you really just said it, is to believe again. You know what I'm saying? Don't stop believing. And then you also said it. Don't be afraid to. Once you start believing in that thing and you get it fresh on your mind, that's what's really you gonna attract. And all you gotta do is open your mouth, and he can have them very people right in your presence that you need to take you to the next step. And then, you know, it's a step-by-step thing. It's a process. Okay. So it may not be able to get you to the end product, but your next step. And then once you do that, he'll bring you in the presence of somebody else that can take you to the next step from there. So all you got to do is just really start to believe it and open your mouth. Believe, dream again, believe again, because it's possible.
Amen.
I agree with what you said too. I came from Chicago and I went through a whole lot of crazy stuff. But me believing and trusting God the way that I do, things just worked out all in my favor. And I appreciate that, and I thank God for that right today. And when the Holy Spirit gives me things, I be like, how am I going to do that? But when I came to you and I said, the Holy Spirit gave me to give to the fire victims and to get the stuff together. You feel me? You said, you going to be in charge of that. And that was a success. And I still got to donate to the fire victims. I'm like, Father God, you still blessing this thing that you gave me to do. And I'm like, Father, I'm not complaining. I just want to obey. That's all I want to do. I just want to obey. And so now I got more of the boxes of shoes for me and another bag of clothes. I think they're men clothes.
Look at God. Yep.
I got to get
Yeah. Yep. You want me to have evangelist to call you?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
That would be
my pleasure. Anyone else? Closing thoughts before we go? I've got Leo, I have you on mute. Any closing thoughts before we go?
No, I got a full meal here tonight. Yep.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Sister Ruby, any closing thoughts? You might be on mute.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's still here, though, so she may be on mute, might be assistant. But either way, we're going to close out. My final statement is just simply, it's okay to believe in yourself again.
Yeah.
It's okay to believe in yourself. It just is. It's okay. It's okay. Right? It's okay. Believe in yourself. Do great things. Let people know that God is real for you. Father, we do thank you. We magnify you. We pray first and foremost.
Oh,
nothing that was said, nothing that
I thought
was spoken,
I was talking. Can y'all hear me?
In your sight.
That's Sister Ruby, Pastor.
Yeah. Sister Clay, you there?
Can y'all hear me?
We can now.
Oh my goodness! I'm just talking and on mute. It's like all night. It's been something coming up against me in this phone call. Did y'all hear me when I said I was trying to find this number?
I didn't hear it.
I must have been muted the whole time. So I am sitting on this couch just taken back because I literally something had dawned on me. It's Wednesday night. Get on the prayer call. And I know I had screenshotted the call, the number and wrote it down, but I could not find it. And I'm looking all over, I grab my other phone because it's just something on me to get on this call. And so I finally just inboxed Sister Hawana and I said, hey, please give me the number so I can join the call. And she did it immediately. I'm sitting here tripped out because in May, I graduated with my master's degree in counseling. And I
have been talking
about how to start a private practice. And the whole thing of this conversation was about literally the conversations that I've been having for the past 2 days about next steps, what to do. I have an LLC. Do I need to update it to reflect mental health? Like all of the stuff. And I'm just sorry, y'all. I'm having a moment because it's like, this is everything that I have been talking about.
Hallelujah.
This was the press for me to get on this call. It's just tripping me out right now. But it's God. It's all God. Sorry to be speaking so calm.
All
but
God.
It was,
yes, ma'am.
It's all God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's all I have to say, y'all. I'm just still just.
That's it, Sister
Clay. Yes.
All right. Well, we praise God. Two, this is not abnormal. It's not abnormal. That's part of how He verifies. We were talking about that earlier. That His Spirit bears witness with our spirit, with His sons and daughters. But His Spirit also bears witness when you're in the right places too, because people will be talking about the thing that you're thinking about. You can't figure out how they can talk about it because you know they shouldn't know about it. And they'll be talking about it. And you go, okay. But that's God's way of saying He's verifying your pathway. Verify.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we praise God that happened because I don't want to get on here and talk just to talk. I want to talk because the Lord is speaking.
Yeah.
He ain't speaking. We ain't getting nothing but a whole bunch of somebody else's ideals. We don't need more ideas. We need vision.
Yes.
Enough with everybody's ideas. We need some vision. And the beautiful part about vision, last thing, and then we'll close in prayer, is whenever God gives you vision, He also is obligated to produce provision.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of times people have to get switched from one location to another location. Because they got a vision, but the people weren't going to help them with the provision. Weren't going to help them figure out how to get it done. And God has to put you someplace where you can get it done from. Because if it's in Him and it's in you, it has to manifest.
Glory.
So, Father, we thank you. We glorify you tonight. We thank you for all that you are doing for your people.
Hallelujah.
We know that you love us. We're not doubtful about that. If
thank
we were,
you,
we're not after tonight. Our hearts and our minds are clear. We know that you have the best of intentions. We know that our latter is going to be greater than our former. We know that you are going to do everything that you spoke. For God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, he will do it. And so, Father, we just magnify and glorify you for the people that came here to Bible study. We ask that you drop an extra ounce of anointing into them. Something that when they touch somebody, they'll pour out what's been poured in so that we can begin to impact and infect the community around us with the goodness of God, so all men and all women might begin to seek you. We're called to be emissaries. We thank you for the privilege and the honor of being your children. And we magnify you with all the love that we have in our hearts so that you and you alone get all the praise, the honor, and the glory.
You get all the glory.
Bless your name, God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. And so, Father, we ask that you keep everyone covered with assignment angels, the ones that will go to war if they need to. And the ones that will minister when they are called to. And
over
our very ears to keep us in perfect peace, that our minds would be stayed on you, and we would not walk in the shadows of doubt any longer. We need to come out of that place and walk in absolute grace, trusting you that you knew what you were doing when you called our names. We thank you and magnify you in Jesus' name.
Yes, you was mighty man.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. If there's nothing else,
love you all.
God bless everyone.
Yeah.
Good night.